Some fishes,
yeah.
So,
from
your neck of the woods.
I'm asking the Russia Weiss question that you spoke about 2 weeks ago. I'm asking Marubi's coming tomorrow, so I'm asking a couple of times what they say about that.
Okay, so you'll let me know.
I went
to
for Shabbos night.
Yeah.
This was maybe a year ago.
So.
And he went out to Russia for like.
Amazing.
I don't know if it was maybe an hour or maximum. It was packed.
And all different types, no?
All different types. From Mizrahi to
Chassidus. Everything. So a Mayim HaMeskaber. So this is, last year we did the first Maimer on Perlman the Beis Yishai, Ayin Shab, if you want Chazar, we're not going to do it. This is the second Maimer in the Beis Yishai on Perlman. It is beautiful as well. I think it has an important message. So let's begin. The Pasuk says, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. And the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yoreh Mabei says that whenever there's a Lashon of Vayhi, it always means that it's a Lashon of Tsar, that something bad is going to come. And we need to just understand, we have to have a better appreciation of what is the Tsar that we're referring to at the beginning. Why do we already invoke the Tsar that's going to come at the beginning of the Megillah? Why do we have to be told about it at the beginning? And what does that have to do with us in understanding of Purim and how the Purim story laid out? So he begins by quoting from Rav Yoel Schwartz. Rav Yoel Schwartz is a well-known author of Sfarim, who I think is alive today in Eretz Yisrael, who's engaged in Kiruv and all types of things. I think he's a Rebbe in Dvar Yerushalayim, which is a big Kiruv yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So in the Sefer and Adar on Purim, on page 29, so Rav Yoel Schwartz wonders why we have Tainus Esther to commemorate fasts and tefillos that were already accepted, and then there's a chus, a miracle occurred. We have no other fast day like that. All the other fasts are because there was a korban, and it was terrible, and therefore we are fasting because of it. The fast of Tainus Esther is very strange. We're fasting because something good happened, and we were saved.
It's a fasting that worked.
Exactly, but it's like a funny thing. So in that line of that a fasting that it worked, he explains that the purpose of this commemoration is to remember a tzara that brought us closer to Hashem. That's what we're doing. It's a fast unlike any other fast. It's a tzara that brought us closer to Hashem. And he explains that Yisurin are in this world in order to awaken us and to bring us to tshuva. That's why we have tzaros. That's why there's difficulties. It's trying to guide us in the right way, to get us on the right path, to get us to wake up.
Tainus Esther wasn't for to remember Esther's fast.
Correct.
To remember it's, the war fast.
Correct, 100%. But that was a fast that ended up.
You're saying we won the war. Why are we fasting? Because
it's also the only fast that goes after Mashiach.
Correct, as well, according to the Rambam that we're going to have Purim. So this is a different type of fast. It's a tzara that we're remembering because that was a tzara that led to something good and tshuva. We don't all remember being saved on Purim, but a lot of Purim is also remembering the process that got us to that being saved, the difficulties that got us there as well. So in the story of Megillas Esther, we see the reality of a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Perak Samach Vav, says, Had tzadikim shetchilasen yisurim besofen shalva. Tzadikim, they begin with yisurim, and the end is peaceful. And we're going to reflect on that idea, that the beginning is difficult, and the end is peaceful. And really, there's more to that than meets the eye. There are many statements in Chazal. He brings a number of statements. We're going to have to do all of them. The greatness of Yisurin, the Ahava, accepting difficulties, the Makabel, the Din from Hashem, the judgment from Hashem, and using that as a tool to come closer. So he begins in his very unique style, the aspect of Drushna. He says that we know of the famous Medrash that Esther merited to rule over 127 countries. He brought the Medrash right there in the Esther Rabbah, right? In the Zechus of her mother, Sarah Imasa, she merited, who lived 127 years. So Esther merited to rule over 127 countries, right? This famous Maimon of Rabbi Akiva, the Chiddush Arim, has a very famous Shekhot Torah. It says that the Rabbi Akiva saw the students were sleeping, and he said, how do we get them to wake up? 127 years, 127 countries, then they got them all excited. So the Chiddush Arim says, what type of a class is that? That's what gets the Talmidim excited? The 127, that's what gets them to wake up? So the Chiddush Arim says, no, Sari Menu took advantage of every single moment. She didn't fall asleep during the Shiur. And in the Zechus of taking advantage of every single moment, her children were able to take part of that Zechus. But that's not the point right now. So the Medrash is strange. Why? Because Sari didn't do anything to merit 127 years. That's the amount of time she lived. That was the designated amount that Hashem gave her. So in the zechus that she lived, the end of amount that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her, so in that zechus, her granddaughter got 120 countries. If you lived to 97, you lived to 97. If you lived to whatever,
countries.
What?
She would have got 97 countries.
Exactly. So, what does that mean? The zechus. That's the amount of time Hashem gave her. So, what's the big deal? So he says you have to look at the Rashi, right? The Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara famously says what? 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. And what does the second Rashi say? What does the second Rashi say?
All the years are good.
Hakol Tova. He says Hakol Tova. So how do we generally understand Hakol Tova? We generally understand that she used every single moment Latova. That every single aspect she davened every single Shemar Esrei, and she went to every single Shir, and she did every single Mitzvah, and the Ches, everything was good. So says Rosh Hashanah Fisher, no. He says Latova means that every single year of her life, in her eyes, was Latova. She viewed all of the difficulties, all of the tzaros, all of the pain she experienced was not pain. It was Latova in her eyes. And says that's the zechus that worked for her grandchildren. Because she lived a life of Kol David Rachman Latav Avid, everything Hashem does is for the best. We've said over this before, but Kos Yeshua Sasav Hashem Hashem Ekra, Sarah V'yagodem, Sarah V'shem Hashem Ekra, that they all had the same relationship with Hashem, whether it was at Sarah, or whether the cup was overflowing with good. That was the midah of Sarah Imenu. Everything was Latova, meaning she viewed everything, the Akeda, and she viewed the Yishmael, and Hagar, and being barren. She saw all of it as Yisur Mi'ahava. It was all a positive aspect that reflected on the way that she perceived the world, and the world around her. Okay? So we see a remez to this message of the life of Sarah in the two countries that are mentioned in the Megillah. What are the only two countries mentioned in the Megillah?
Madai Paras.
Mehodu v'ad Kush, right? From Hodu until Kush. So listen to this. Mordechai.
Cities.
What?
Cities.
No, those
cities.
Are countries.
They're cities.
They're countries. Hodu and Kush are countries. So Mordechai comes from Shaul, right? We know that Mordechai is a descendant of Shaul. So, and he was called Cush ben Yemini. That was the name of Shaul. Cush ben Yemini. So, and that's the shaved of Binyamin. So Cush and Binyamin and Mordechai are all related to each other. Regarding Binyamin, it says, Ubein Ksefav Shachain. Right? So that's the bracha. That the Shechina rests in the area of Binyamin. And the Rosh HaTevus, Ubein Ksefav Shachain, is Cush. So again, we see the connection between Binyamin and Mordechai and the area of Cush. Binyamin is the Ben Oni, right? That was the original name given by his mother, the son of my suffering. Binyamin represents the tzaros and the difficulties. And therefore, says Rosh Hashanah Fisher, listen to this, the gematria of Cush is Yisurin. The gematria of Cush, Cush represents the difficulties, the Ben Oni, the troubles that a person goes through. On the other hand, is Hodu. Hodu is thanking Hashem. But also, Hodu b'gematria is bi'ahava. Listen to this. Hodu and Kush, Yisurim bi'ahava, is the same gematria. The gematria of Hodu and Kush is Yisurim bi'ahava. Esther merited me Hodu bi'ad Kush, because her grandmother lived a life of Yisurim bi'ahava. A beautiful way he connects it all together. Therefore, Hodu and Kush is the gematria that represents this, and this is also the gematria of Shalva. Right, we said tzaddikim shetchilasim yisurim v'sofan shalva. Again, the tzaddikim will end up. What does it mean they live a life of shalva? That everything is perfect? No, it means they live a life of yisurim v'ahava. That there are difficulties, but they see it through a prism that it's for good and it's for the best. That's what shalva means. Not that shalva doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It means that everything is yisurim v'ahava. And seemingly that shalva comes when we accept yisurim v'ahava. Where else do we find the concept of yisurim v'ahava? Says Rosh Hashanah Fisher beautifully. He says the Gemara brachos daf hey mer aleph yachol afil lo kabla me'ahava tamalomar im tasim asham nafsho ma asham ladas af yisurin ladas. A person might have thought that Hashem loves him even if it delights in him, is happy even if he doesn't accept his yisurin with love. Therefore, the pasuk says im tasim asham nafsho, that your soul would offer in its guilt. You have to, just like a guilt offering, just like an asham is brought knowingly. It's one of the korbanos you have to bring midas, you have to bring it on your own, without being forced. So too, yisurim bi'ahava only work if you're mekabel them. If you have yisurim them, but you don't deal with them in the way of ahava, then you don't get schar in that type of way. So the Marsha asks, which type of asham, right? It says an asham is, it's when you accept Yisur B'Ahava, it's like you offer a korban asham. That's what it's like. So there's different types of asham. So it says Rosh Shlomo Fisher is probably referring to an asham taloi. Because if you look at the Rashi here in Yuma, what does Rashi say about an asham taloi? The asham taloi does what? Elatolu lahagen alav min hayisurim. An asham protects a person from yisurim. So the asham taloi represents yisurim mi'ahava. When a person accepts yisurim mi'ahava, it's like a korban being offered on their on behalf. Guess what? What's the gematria of asham? Yisurim mi'ahava, he says. Another remez that comes together, that asham is gematria yisurim mi'ahava. Another one. We know that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, the famous Tikkun HaZohar that the Gra talks about, Rav Huttner made famous by putting on the map of Yom Kippurim. In fact, Aaron HaKohen is gematria Purim, he says. And the Gemara increases Chafei Amar Beis says that Yom Kippur clears Averos that need an Asham, and it acts like an Asham. So Yom Kippur acts as an Asham, and Asham acts as a Yisurim B'Ahava. Listen to this. There's a Mishnah in Yuma. I forgot to put it on the sheet, but listen to this Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in the morning of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wears clothing from two different countries. Hodu and Kush. That's what it says. He wears in the morning he wears clothing from Egypt, Kush, and in the afternoon he wears clothing from India, Hodu. So even on Yom Kippur,
Egypt.
It's Egypt is Kush.
They're fighting with each other.
Kush is the area of Egypt. Kush is the geographic area of Egypt. So we see even on Yom Kippur, why does the Mishnah tell us where he gets his clothing from? Who cares? It was a strange thing to tell us. It has no relation at all to the rest of the halachos. So he says, of course, because Yom Kippur is Yisur Mi'ahava, accepting the difficulties with love, and we reference Hodu and Kush in the clothing of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a combination of Hodu and Kush, or Yisur Mi'ahava, or an Asham. He goes on to say that the Gra notes that the two birds used by Taras HaMetzora, we know when the Metzora becomes pure, he needs two birds. They correspond to the two goats of Yom Kippur. That's a word of the Vilna Gaon. Two goats by Yom Kippur, by the Asir Azazel and the Asir Mizbeach, and then the two birds by the Taras of the Metzora. One is slaughtered, one is sent away, right? Just like the goat is slaughtered, the other goat is sent away, the same thing. So the Gemara Bracha cites one opinion that says that getting Tsaras is a form of Yisurim Mi'ahava. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, it adds the comparison that the two birds offered by the Metzora are like the two goats of Yom Kippur. Just like Yom Kippur is about Yisur Mi'av and accepting the judgment from Hashem with love, and so too, the Metzora also accepts his judgment with love. Why? Because the Metzora walks around, embarrassed in public, saying, I spoke Lashon Hara, people should daven for me. He goes with his hair long, he's crying, Tamei Tamei. Then it says to Rosh Shlomo Fisher, listen to this. The Metzora can easily get out of it. There's an easy way to cheat. What can the Metzora do?
Stay inside.
He can stay inside, but also he can remove the tzaras. He doesn't have to tell anybody. It's an Isser in the Torah, but at that point he's already been speaking Torah Lashon Hara. He can remove the tzaras. He sees something on his skin, remove it, and then nobody will know he has tzaras. The Metzora who's walking around screaming Tamei Tamei is a person who has acknowledged that he has Yisurim, he's accepted them, and he's prepared to deal with them because this is the Ratzon Hashem. And the Metzora also represents someone who accepts Yisurim Me'ahava as well.
Then so, he brings an Asham also.
What?
He brings an Asham also.
He brings an Asham. There we go. Fits together as well. Good. So, that is his opening statement of Yisur Mi'ahava, how it's a reflection in Hodu and Kush, and Yom Kippur, and Purim, and the major avoda, perhaps, of reading the Megillah and Yom Kippur, reading the Megillah on Purim is to see the aspect of Yisur Mi'ahava and that idea for the Jewish people. So he leads the following question. Why is the country of Hodu mentioned before Kush? What would you have put first?
Yisurim
and then Ahava. But Hodu, which is Gematria Ahava, comes before Yisurim, which is Gematria of Kush. Why do we do it that way? Listen to this. The pasuk says in Shmos Tesvav, Vayomer im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem elokecham v'hayasher be'inav ta'aseh. If you listen to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and do the proper thing, v'yazantel mitzvos, if you listen to the mitzvos, v'shamarta kol chuka v'kol machal asher samti b'mitzrayim, and I will protect you from all, and you keep all the mitzvos, and every single disease, problem that I brought on Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, I won't give to you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem, your doctor. So Rashi says, what does it mean that lo asim alecha, I'm not going to put on them? So Rashi says, v'im asim, Harehi kalo hushma, ki ani Hashem rofecha zel midrasho. If I will bring illness upon you, it'll be as if it has not been brought at all, for I am Hashem your doctor. What does he mean? That if I bring a tzara to you, it'll be as if it's not there because I'm Hashem your doctor. So Rosh Shlomo Fisher asked the following question. We have a Gemara here in Ksuvis and Daf Ayin Dal. Listen to this Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the following Shaila. A person gets married on condition to a woman that there's no vows on her. She has no outstanding vows to fulfill. But if there are vows on her, she didn't tell him that he has any outstanding vows to fulfill. So halacha eitzel chacham v'hetira mekudeshes. So she can go to a talmid chacham, the rabbi. He can dissolve her vows and she'll be married, meaning she shouldn't have had any. But it turns out she did, so he'll go and they'll remove the vows and they'll take care of it. Then, if he married her on condition that she has nothing, no diseases, no physical diseases, and then it turns out that she did have diseases after he said Haras Mikudashasli on this condition, so she goes to a rofa, the riposa ena mikudashas, and she goes to a doctor. And the doctor takes care of the illnesses, ain't a mikudeshes, it's no good. So the Gemara says, Ma bein chacham l'rofa. How come when she goes to the talmid chacham, the rabbi, and the rabbi takes care of the nedarim, essentially we're saying retroactively, we're going back and saying there's no vows, right? And therefore she's mikudeshes going forward. But when she goes to the doctor, and the doctor takes care of the illnesses, we say it's no good because it was a false kedushin, and it doesn't go back retroactively. He says, this is the point. Chacham oker es haneder mi'ikaro. The Talmid Chacham removes the neder retroactively, as if they were not there from the time of the Kedushin. But eina merapa ela mikan l'haba. A refua only takes place when? Mikan l'haba. We don't say it's as if you never had it. We say from that point on we get cured. So if so, says Rav Fisher, how can Rashi say that there's an illness that it's not like it was there because Hashem will hear us? We see clear in the Gemara what? That Rafua is never cured lemafrei. It's always mikanu lahaba. The Gemara Ksuva says we only look at Rafua once the cure occurs. So how can Hashem say anything that I'm going to bring to you from Mitzrayim as if it's not going to happen because I'm your doctor? How is that possible? So the Gemara Msachim says that in this world, when we hear good news, we say Baruch Atol V'Ameitiv, and on bad news, we say Baruch Dynamis. It's a famous Gemara, Gemara Brachos, Gemara Msachim, right? On good news we say Baruch Atov Ameitiv, and on bad news we say Baruch Dain Emes. Then the Gemara says, but in Olam Haba, meaning in the Yemot HaMashiach, on everything they're going to say Atov Ameitiv. Even on bad things, that's what we're saying. Even on seemingly bad things. Comes the Tzlach, the Node of Yehuda, the famed Rav of Prague. Let's read through a comment of the Tzlach on this Gemara Misach. Listen to this. He says, Va'amar hu amenoch. He's quoting B'Shem, one of his Rebbeim. He says, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Odecha ki ani an pas bi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'amarta b'yom ahu odecha Hashem ki an pas bi. That in the future, we will thank Hashem for being harsh to us. That's what's going to be. Ba'asad lavo, we're going to thank Hashem for being harsh. Lefi, Shemei elyon lo teitse haros ve'ein davara. Because really, from the perspective of Hashem, there's no bad in the world. It's all good. Everything is good from Hashem. Everything is l'tova. V'afilu haperanio shaba al ha'adam. Even bad things that come to a person, einu ra. They're not really bad. Aval tova zakech oso. They're there to purify him. Ulachnia yitzara, and to remove the yitzara. Ulatahir haneshama, and to purify the soul, she yizka la'olam shukulotav. He should merit olam haba. That's why we have difficulties and sorrows and pain in this world. Elisha Adam Ba'olam has Eino Ma'ivin Hadavar, but we can't see that in this world. La Ashuro V'Nidma Ve'inav, as to being good, and therefore it appears in his eyes, Kilu Hura. And therefore negative things in the world appear to our understanding as bad. But really, in truth, they're all good from Hashem's perspective. Kamo HaCholam, just like someone who is ill. She'osin Loch Techvushas, V'yeshol Yisurin, and they put bandages and the surgeries and the difficulties and the physical therapy and all the pain that goes into it. And it's painful. The foolish patient will say, stop the surgeries, stop the therapies, stop the medicine that doesn't taste good, right? That's what the foolish person will say. The wise patient will accept the pain of the refuah with happiness. And so too, the difficulties for Rishayim are like that. Amnam achar moso, however, after a person's death, sharohu umeibin atov amitzi, after a person's death, and we pass into the next world and we see what the true good is, and we're in olam haba, gmo kein la'asad lavo, or also in the days of Mashiach, shenizka lezeh b'mehira, that we should all merit this quickly, says Noz Yehuda, amen. Namar bayomahu odachaki and paspi, we will say, what when Mashiach comes? Hashem, thank you for making everything harsh. Thank you for the tzaros, because we realized that we're the right thing.
If you succeeded, right? If you handled it.
Correct. If you handled it, correct. Yomos HaMashiach, we're all going to see with clarity. We're going to see that it was all good. We're going to thank Hashem for the pain. At that time, to make it good for me now. And this is what the Gemara in Pesachim means. Ba'olam hazeh omer al besoros roz dayan emes. In this world, on bad things, we say dayan emes. Shesober shesel mitzah means something because we think it's bad. We think it's coming from a place of punishment. Ba'olam haba kulo hametev tov hametev. But in olam haba, it's all going to be good. We're going to see it's good. Perush shirelam afreya shukulo hayamidas tova. We're going to see retroactively that it was all from good. V'haylo levarech al hakol tov hametev. And that's what it means. And therefore, this is the answer to Rashi. What does Rashi mean? That Ani Hashem Rofecha, and therefore it's going to be as it's not there. Rashi means, because Hashem is our doctor, Hashem is unlike any doctor, every machl is really a refuah from the perspective of Hashem. It doesn't mean that Hashem is the doctor, and therefore even if bad stuff happens, like, you know, Hashem's going to take care of it, so like it's not such a big deal. It means every machl is really a refuah. Ani Hashem Rofecha, I'm your doctor. And therefore, when things stink, says Hashem, it's because it's for the best. Not because it's Midas Hadin and it's bad and I'm going to take care of it and I'm going to clean up your mess later on. No. This is the thing you need. This is the medicine that tastes bad. But I know, says Hashem, because I'm your doctor, therefore, it's not a machla, it's a refuah. That's how he teaches the Rashi. A beautiful pshat in the Rashi. So therefore, he says as follows. The Ahava is already in place before the Yisurim. And the Yisurim are already a form of Ahava. The Tsaros, the Vayehi B'yamei Achashverosh, is not a Tsara. It's an Ahava. It's already an Ahava. And this is the higher form of understanding Hashem. And the Yisurim come because of the Ahava that Hashem has for us. And that's why Tainus Esther is a reflection of the fact that the Tsaros are for our benefit. That's what we mean. When we fast on Tainus Esther, what we're saying is, all of the year leading up with Haman, all of that Tzara, was really one giant refuah. We just didn't realize from the beginning. And therefore that makes sense. That's why Hodu is before Kush. Because the Ahava is already there in the Yisurim. It's not Yisurim and the Ahava. Really the Hodu, the Ahava, is already implanted before the Yisurim at the end of the day. And if a person...
This is when the Megillah... Isn't this when the Megillah...
opens.
Yeah, this is the Megillah was written afterwards, right?
Afterwards, yeah.
So when someone goes to Yisurim Ahava, usually it's usually Yisurim and then Ahava.
Yeah.
Here, they celebrate, and then in retrospect, it's
so exactly. When Mordechai and Esther sat down to write the Megillah, they told us it's all Ahava.
They're my friend, it's all
correct.
Ahava.
They looked back and saw.
From the onset.
Exactly, 100%.
Very nice.
So he says a person, this is not him exactly, but a person loses a job, a person has an illness, a person's in a fight. So those are circumstances that we need to be in our own benefit. It's true that the Megillah begins B'lashon Tsar, But that tsar was revealed to be for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And we fast to commemorate that that was for our benefit. That was really what we needed the whole time. So he quotes the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says, the Torah tells us regarding Man. Listen to this. The pasuk says, Hama'achilcha min hamidbar l'man anosecha. It's a funny pasuk. Hashem says, I gave you Man in order to afflict you. What is that for? We thought Man was great. So what's the affliction? So the Gemara discusses. So he quotes the Ramban in Parshas Peshach. The Ramban repeats this in Parshas Ekev. He says that the affliction of the Man was that it was a test that they shouldn't have a reserve of food in their possession and wouldn't see for themselves any plants or any food in the Midbar other than the Man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. And despite all of that, they still followed Hashem into the Midbar. That was Laman HaNosecha. Meaning Hashem gave you Man. You didn't know where the next meal was going to be. You didn't know where the next food was going to come. It was totally beyond Hashem. And that's difficult, to go to sleep at night and your kids say, you know, what's for to be the next morning? They say, I don't know. Hashem is going to make it rain from the sky the next morning. I hope it works out. And if it doesn't work out, I don't know what we're going to do. And that's how the Dor HaMidbar lived every single day. That's Laman Anosecha. So the Laman Anosecha, it's to afflict you. But clearly, is that really an affliction? No, it's an affliction that raises one's emunah. To know that everything is going to come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything comes directly from Hashem, that everything comes with Ahava.
Is it the same source of like answering? No.
So there is a, that's what they say by Lechem Oni, by Pesach, to answer. So what do you want to say?
That answers a person's...
That answers. Your pain is really the answer. I like that. That was very good. Very good. So your pain is really the answer. So actually, we'll end with one more gematria. Listen to this. The pasuk that they reverence regarding that the man was Laman and Osech was a pasuk until him. The pasuk until him says, Lechem Abirim Echol Ish. That Hashem fed us Lechem Abirim in the Midbar. So literally, Lechem Abirim means the bread of difficulty. It was hard with the man. Lechem Abirim is Gematria, Yisurim Mi'ahava. It's the same Gematria, he says. And therefore, the man is the same Midah. That it looks like it's difficult because where's my food going to come from? But Bnei Yisrael complain, we can't go to the bathroom, it all tastes the same. Whatever it is. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Midah you need. You need to know that it's all coming from love. I'm training you with love to put you in the right perspective. And it was the zechus of Kabbalah Yisur Me'ahava that allowed the Jewish people to be saved from the Gzeirah. And he referenced this, not exactly, but I think he's saying the Gzeirah of Haman. Meaning Haman and the Man. That just like Haman and Man is related, the Man seems to be bad, but in essence it is actually good. Haman and his actions seem to be Yisurim, but in actually it is Me'ahava. This touches upon a different point. There are references in Darshan between Haman and Man. There's also a famous mistake that was noted most dramatically by Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein, the Rav Ungvar, wrote a kuntros about how he thought that translating things into English were terrible. He was against art school and all those types of things. Clearly he lost that battle. But in there, he points out the following. In the 1970s, one of the first things art school ever wrote was a Shabbos Zmiros book. And went by Shaul Shudis. So the editor to that section, Shaul Shudis, said the reason why we have three meals on Shabbos is to remember the sudos that Esther made for Haman. What's the problem with that? How many sudos did Esther make for Haman?
Two.
What happened? So they said the source is the Aruch HaShulchan. You open up the Aruch HaShulchan. What does the Aruch HaShulchan say? The Aruch HaShulchan says we have three meals on Shabbos to reference the Man. The man that fell in the Midbar. Hayom, hayom, hayom. The man that fell in the Midbar. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's like real. I have a copy of it. Yeah. And they read it. They were writing quickly. They weren't paying attention. So they said, Sudas Haman. Esther, Haman, Sudas. And they wrote the three Sudas. So he has a Bataina. You see what happens when you translate things in English. It messes everybody up. It comes to the Sheker. The whole thing. But the Darshanim do see a connection between Man and Haman. The connection between, apparently, something that comes... It's difficult. There's Yisurim. There's an aspect of things that are not clear. When we talk about Man with our children in school, we always say, it tastes like anything. Pizza, ice cream, steak, whatever you want. But there's a deeper level to Man. The Man came with a bit of uncertainty. And there were complaints. We know Bnei Yisrael did complain about the Man. But that's the idea. Lechem Abirim. That Man that seemed to be difficult and painful, in the end, was really Me'ahava.
It was difficult for the latecomers.
The latecomers. So, and that's at the end, just to pull it all together, that's the reference of Hodu and Kush. That's the reference of Sarah, who lived Yisur B'Ahava, that all of her days were Tov. And that's really perhaps a giant theme regarding the entire Megillah, that everything was really a Tov. We sit in the Megillah and we're on the edge of our seats. This is what's going to happen. Good, bad, Haman. And all the whole time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting back on his throne and saying, it's all B'Ahava, it's all good. The whole thing is a plan. And certainly the personal lesson for everyone, for every individual, is to take that lesson for the rest of the year. There are tsaros that are small, that go from my car breaking down to things of more greater tragedies. And it's not always easy to say. And certainly, without question, nobody should go around telling everybody, you know, chin up, it's Yisur B'Ahava. Nobody wants to hear that when they're going through tsaros. But for ourselves, from our own perspective looking out on the rest of the world, to see those Yisurim as really originally being Hodu, Anava from the beginning, and really all part of Hashem's plan, and really guiding us through the rest of the year. Okay? Sure.